Thank you very much. That was absolutely wonderful. And Michael, it makes me feel a little bit envious living in Quebec compared to Ontario at this moment. But yes, so let me just see. We've got lots of questions here. So Tina.
Hi, I'm Christina Wolfson. I'm a faculty member in EPI. I'm also an alumnus of the department. So my question is for Michael, and I guess for also Robin, and it has to do with access to big data. You touched on it a little bit, and perhaps you kind of smoothed over a few things. You talked about how within ISIS people have access, but how do they getting access outside? Is there a cost to that? Are there security requirements for the end user? Because most of us want to have it. I hope there's no one from Statistics Canada. We don't want to go to an RDC. We'd like to have it on our desktop. So that's my question.
Sure. Thanks for the question. So the Data and Analytics Services platform at ISIS provides access to any Canadian researcher from anywhere, from your basement, from your office, from Starbucks. It's a VPN access, so you apply and you know, there's a vetting process to make sure you actually are who you claim you are. There's a process which is free up front around vetting your questions. So, you know, people have questions, they don't really know the data, and there we have dedicated staff, including staff scientists, whose job it is to work with a researcher to figure out, you know, is our data actually valid for the question you have. So that is a back and forth process initially. You need an REB approval. And then the cost, we were operating on a cost recovery model. It is subsidized by SPOR. And the cost, it varies depending on the nature of the data request. But it's anywhere, on average, would be less than about $10,000 for most of the data requests we've had to date. We've dealt with about, I think now, about 160 requests to date. I think about 23 of them were determined to not be feasible, and the others are in various stages of completion.
So Tom Lewis, Johns Hopkins, and also for the next 8 months, U.S. Census Bureau. And it's really a similar question, but how concerned are you about just eventually, not so much the people inside your organization, but others well-intentioned or not, identifying a person? And as you know, it doesn't take much to identify these days, especially with data that you don't even know exists that others are linking to. And so I'm giving a little bit of the U.S. Census Bureau paranoia here. At least I get to do that for another 6 months or 8 months. How many events would it take? I mean, the NSA for the U.S., we know they know everything. I'm sure they have your database. But how many events is it going to take of a revelation that is really in the context of your own data before you have lost the trust? And how are you going to sort of deal with that? I think it's an issue that's floating in big data more generally.
It's a great question. So first thing is that the level of de-identification is greater in data that's available on this public platform than would be available inside the walls of ISIS. So we have levels of de-identification, and level 4 is our most de-identified, and that's the data that's available on this platform. So it may be that for some particular studies, you can't do it with level 4 data, in which case either you don't do the study or you partner with someone within ISIS and you do it in another way. All of the output, so you can't actually link it because you never get the data. You're accessing the data on our servers. You can't remove data. You can't copy from the screen. You can't print. Those safeguards are all in place. You can only extract aggregate results, and all those aggregate results are manually reviewed by our staff to identify small cells and other data that would augment the risk of re-identification. Can we say that the risk of re-identification is zero? No, you can't ever say that. The linkage algorithms are specifically designed to reduce the risk of identification to as small as possible. What will we do when it happens, when someone's re-identified? That's a great question. We have a series of FAQs on that I can share with you. I think what we're trying to do is to try to reduce the risk as much as possible. But I think far more important than that is that we actually are right now explaining to the public, as I said before, what we're doing, what the value of it, and at the end of the day, convincing people that the risk-benefit ratio is actually in their favor. That though the risk of re-identification is never going to be zero, the benefits that accrue to society and to individual health are worth the small risks of re-identification.
If I can just follow up on that, in fact, I think Canada has the best data in the world actually, and our challenge is that we actually don't have access to it. So the Canadian Council of Academies was asked by the Canadian Institutes of Health Research to really look at this whole issue of timely access to data and what were best practices in that regard. And in fact, have just produced a report looking at best practices around the world. If anything, I think that the fear of re-identification or privacy breaches have been so overblown compared to the lost benefit of failing to use this data that I think that we really have to readjust the ruler on this one and actually follow essentially some of the best practices and public notification of what's happening so that they can actually weigh in on the discussion of the potential lost benefits of not actually accessing this data. Is there a question at the back?
Hi, I'm Matthew Hodge. I did a PhD here, and for my sins, I now practice emergency medicine in Ontario. So nice to see you, Mike. Mm-hmm. My question is, if we were running a call center or working in a bank, when a client came in, it would tell us about that person. It would encourage us to sell them insurance or perhaps not offer them a credit card. The model you've both described in both provinces is expert-driven. Experts get access to data. Great to see it's increasing. Experts provide advice to government. Is there a future, and I'm interested in your thoughts on what's the opportunity for providers like me when I'm wearing my pajamas in the emergency department to know that this patient has had 7 visits in the last 30 days to different hospitals? Because that's a piece that I haven't heard anybody talk about in any of the big data conversations. And I think if we want to transform healthcare to realize the savings that Robin's identified, we need to get providers to behave differently. And part of that is equipping me when I'm an emergency physician with information I can actually act upon. Thank you.
Jean-Louis, I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Well, it's probably more in your feed than mine, but I think what maybe just one brief comment, like we got interested in what we call clinical governance, and what we learned from these different work is that professionals will be able to act differently if they evolve in rich contexts. And part of this rich context is access to this type of information on time that help them shaping their decision and their behavior. But I cannot answer about the contribution of this to your issue.
I mean, Matthew, I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. That would be a tremendous enabler. I mean, it's not what we do as a health services research institute, but there's no reason the government or a local health integration unit in Ontario or a C3S in Quebec, I suppose, couldn't bring that data together. They exist. There are privacy issues, regulations, but mostly I think there's inertia, there's fear, there's a lack of momentum, I guess. But absolutely, I think that kind of data would be tremendously important, and it's kind of bread and butter in many U.S. healthcare systems or in other countries, for sure.
Okay, there's someone who's basically waving over there who's saying that our time is up. I want to thank both of you for actually coming today and presenting. I'm really very, very grateful, and thank you very much for a wonderful set of questions.